This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this, a Wednesday evening. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
I would crush his skull.
Wow. And good evening to Don.
Carlos ain't making any cookies.
And good evening to Michael.
And I kick him right in his groin.
Guys, lots to get to today. And I guess we should start off this ENN by sending well wishes to Aaron Boone of the Yankees. The Yankees skipper is taking an immediate medical leave of absence to have surgery to get a pacemaker, the team announced. He's 47 years old. He had open heart surgery back in 2009. And he said in a statement that he's been dealing with mild symptoms, lightheadedness, low energy, shortness of breath over the past 6 to 8 weeks. Took a battery of tests prior to spring training, indicated he had a low heart rate also. And so surgery and a pacemaker is apparently what needs to be done. The surgery was scheduled to be performed today at St. Joseph's Hospital in Tampa, Florida. Mets manager Luis Rojas had some kind words for Aaron Boone.
I heard about Aaron Boone, by the way, guys, and I want to share with you guys. My respect for Aaron, first of all, and he's very welcoming to me when I came into my position. You know, fellow manager from the same city, and I have so much respect for him. And I'll find out more, in the details, but my prayer and thoughts are with him and his family right now. I want to, just pray for the best with him. So I wanted to share that with everyone here because I found out when I was in a game, just the word got spread around real quick.
Am I a bad guy that when I see Luis Rojas's name still, it like rings so little of a bell of relevance to me?
I don't know what you're saying.
I mean, maybe if the Mets are good and have a great year, then I'll see it and it'll jump out. Mets manager! But it's his name and I'm like, it just sounds like a guy had something to say.
Well, very, very few managers have had, the kind of entree into their job like Luis Rojas. So
right.
He takes over for Beltran late.
Right.
Then his first spring training he's running, it gets stopped on March 12th. Then baseball doesn't get picked up again until the beginning of August, and he has a 60-game season, and then there's an ownership change. That's a rough go. So,
well, it's also where
a lot of latitude.
It's also where baseball is these days when it comes to just bringing in someone, who can follow the paper and do what they need to do and knows the game a bit. I grew up in a time when you'd heard of every manager in the sport.
Right. And it is weird that there is a possibility that there are some Met fans that actually know the owner face and name more than the manager. And that's very rare.
Well, just win, baby, and then they'll know.
Well, no, and again, you gave all the reasons why. He's managed 60 games in Major League Baseball, a truncated season, and he's never been a manager on the Major League level before. I mean, but Peter's right. The days of, Tommy Lasorda and Earl Weaver and Sparky Anderson, you didn't even have to be a diehard baseball fan to rattle off every manager in baseball.
Now, I will say, I'm looking at 1990 managers. There are some I certainly don't ring the same bell as others, but just a few names when you look at it quickly. Sparky Anderson, Bobby Cox, Roger Craig, Bucky Dent, Cito Gaston, Bud Harrelson, Whitey Herzog, Art Howe, Davey Johnson, Tony La Russa, Tommy Lasorda, Jim Leland, Stump Merrill, Joe Morgan, Lou Piniella, Frank Robinson, Joe Torre, Bobby Valentine, Don Zimmer, all managers.
How could Bucky Dent and Stump Merrill... Stump Merrill took over for Bucky. Okay.
How dare you? That's from baseballreference.com, damn it. Now, tell me who the manager of the Reds in 1990 was.
John McNamara?
I'm sorry.
No, 1990 was Lou Piniella.
Sorry, I didn't mean the Reds because I'm a jackwagon. The Cardinals.
I guess it was still Whitey Herzog?
No, and here's a hint. When I say the name, you'll know how I mistaked the Reds when I was reading it.
Mistake the Reds? I don't know. Who was it?
Because the man's name was Red.
Red Shandiest?
That's right.
Oh, he had to be an interim manager.
Yes.
Yes, before Joe Torre. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Yeah, but he didn't start the season. He might have taken over for Joe Torre.
Well, it says he was, 13 and 11. How many managers do they have that year? They had three and Whitey.
Right, so Whitey started and then probably got fired for Red, and then they brought in Joe.
Yep. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. We send our best out to a manager's name we all know, the great Aaron Boone, and wish him well. He's a wonderful guy, and we pray everything goes smoothly for him. So, Jets fans, you know, of course, still have very clear memories of how things transpired between the team and Jamal Adams. And now Marcus May's agent is heating things up. May is scheduled to hit free agency on March 17th. And May's agent took to Twitter on Tuesday night and expressed displeasure with the team. He responded to a tweet from Field Yates about the Jets possibly having $80 million in cap space and five first-round picks over the next three drafts, and already seems to be ready to make demands a couple of weeks early for his player. Let's hear from Dan Graziano on DCR earlier about the Marcus May situation.
Marcus May, I mean, as I understood it, was one of their priorities. Now, obviously, the agents' Twitter account from last night indicates that he disagrees, that he doesn't feel they've made him enough of a priority. So that could tell you the state of those negotiations as we creep toward free agency. Here in a couple of weeks is when the rubber meets the road. Either they'll have him or they'll franchise him or they'll let him hit the market. I think that last option is probably the least likely.
I think players sometimes forget that when the agent goes off like that, it's a reflection of them. Now, maybe Marcus May wants him to do that, but players forget that the agent works for you. They listen to you. The marching order should come from you. If you want to stay with the Jets, the antagonistic approach does not work. Listen, there's no hurry. They could franchise him by the middle of the month and still negotiate a contract with him until the middle of July.
Right.
There's no chance of them losing him.
Right, so that's why right now, yeah, he's a priority, but there's probably other priorities. And do you really ever think it happens this way when you have, like, a good executive, like we believe Joe Douglas is, where, you know, they negotiate back and forth, and then you hear the agent, you know, do what Marcus May's agent did, and they go, oh, no, he's unhappy. Maybe we should call him back and give him what he wants. You know, come on. This is what negotiations are. It's that back and forth. Now, I do agree the players don't have a lot of power because he could just get franchised, and that stinks. But we're still very early. Even though, like, you're right. I'm glad you brought that up. That March 17th date seems like, well, it's looming. Today's the 3rd. We're only 2 weeks away. No.
Also, so, you know, speaking of contracts, somebody just brought this up on Twitter, and it really is a good answer for the crowd that, you know, the owners could do whatever they want to the players. So if you're not in football, if you're in baseball, basketball, and hockey, where all the contracts are fully guaranteed, let's say you sign somebody to a five-year deal. Well, no, let's go crazy. What the Padres just did with Fernando Tatis Jr. No, 14 years, I think. Let's say that Fernando Tatis Jr. becomes an absolute terrible player. Never lives up to what they thought he was going to. You know what? They got to pay him that whole deal. They can't renegotiate his contract down. So the owners aren't these evil beings that could just unilaterally wave a wand and just discontinue a contract. They got to pay it out, even if the person doesn't produce. If Fernando Tatis balloons up to 300 pounds, they've got to pay his contract. So stop with the owners could do whatever they want. No, they could do whatever is allowed within the confines of the contract. If you have a guaranteed contract and you stop producing, the beauty of that is you still get paid.
The confines of the contract, and the contract is in the confines of the CBA, which is renegotiated every 3 to 5 years. Where if you want to change how it is, then you can change it. I know it's hard. I know it'd be almost impossible to get more guaranteed money out of the owners in football because of the injuries. But it's not like there's outlets. Unfortunately, there's no trap door where you can just automatically push a button and you're gone if you're the player to get out of an organization.
Wouldn't that be exciting, though, for the game?
Well, James Harden did it. James Harden pushed the trap door.
I'm glad you mentioned.
He got to Brooklyn.
I'm glad you mentioned James Harden.
Jimbo
Harden, if you will. He's back in Houston tonight. And Jay Williams spoke on KJZ and said that Harden should not get booed when he goes back.
Since he's been there, Key, he's taken him to the playoffs every single year. His first year averaging 25 points per game. I mean, we won't even get into the things he's done for the community, but this past year when he decided to leave, okay, the GM that made the trade for him to come from OKC, he all of a sudden decided to step down, quote unquote, which means you know what that means. Daryl Morey pushed out. Your head coach, Mike D'Antoni, that created the style in which you play, that you had a great bond with, they didn't give him extension. All of a sudden, he's gone. Russell Westbrook, all of a sudden, that relationship, that festers, rumors from the media, they don't get along, but now they're moving him, and they're making all these changes without consulting James Harden, the guy that they're building the whole franchise on, right? So now all of a sudden he wants to leave and he goes to Brooklyn where he's part of a team with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving where they're winning. He's given his franchise everything he could. I want him to get the praise that he deserves.
I'm going to go ahead on a limb here at 6:18 and say, Michael, that you do not fully agree with that sentiment.
Well, no, not at all. Listen, players are always going to stick with players. I've told you that. I've told you that. If a player saw a player hack a sports writer to death with an axe, they say, you know what? He had a reason. He's probably right. I mean, players are going to stick with players. Jay Williams, a former player, he's going to stick with the player. He deserves accolades for the 8 years that he spent in Houston. He deserves every single negative thing that's going to come down from the fans today for the way he left. You can't separate. Again, I'll bring up the 20-year marriage of all bliss, and then the wife goes around the cul-de-sac and sleeps with every guy. You can't say the marriage was great. It ended badly.
You know, it might be a little different with what Jay is saying if they had won a championship. Then maybe I can kind of understand what he's saying. Like, he played great. He won an MVP. They were very competitive. But to the average fan, you still bolted. Like, but if he had won a couple, Michael, or he at least won one, then maybe they could look back and say, hey, at least they got us a championship. I'm going to cheer that.
And that's why the second ending for LeBron, they were almost willing to let him go because he gave them the championship. The
right.
First time he didn't, and they were angry that he went to Miami, and they had no reason to be. He played out his contract and did it legally. Then he played out his contract again, but he left Cleveland the second time with the championship they'd been waiting for since 1964. So the championship was a big deal. So James Harden had personal accolades, but in Game 7 of a Western Conference Finals that would have gotten him to the NBA Finals, you know what? He laid an egg. Look up the numbers. A big, fat egg.
Listen, I don't feel necessarily as strongly as you guys do, or as you do, Michael, but I am not with Jay Will that he deserves to get showered with praise for everything he did. That's just not – I'll take your comparison a step further. You know, when a marriage goes south, the person does something, the marriage ends. Yes, down the line, there could be looking back and being like, you know, all in all, pretty great person. Glad we spent time together. You don't ask for it 3 weeks later. It's silly to think that when he gets back, the fan base is going to be like, we're so grateful. They're still annoyed. This just happened.
Right.
They've now lost 12 straight.
There's another aspect to what Jay said that is nonsense. You know, everything changed. They did everything the organization that he wanted them to do. Everything. Get me Chris Paul. Get rid of Chris Paul. Get me Russell Westbrook. I can't play with him. Don't hire Jeff Van Gundy. Bring in Silas. They did everything he wanted them to do, and still he said, I want out. And you know what? You can actually say, I want out. You can request to get out. But the way he did it.
Well, let's hear from James Harden. He was with our own Malika Andrews, and he was asked how he hoped to be received.
I hope I'm received with love. The love and the appreciation that I've given to that city and that I still give to that city. I'm hoping that the favor can be returned.
Malika asked him about why he decided to donate to Houston after the winter storms that just ravaged the area.
Because I feel like Houston is still a part of me, community-wise. Obviously, I did some pretty amazing things on the court, but off the court, I was, you know, hopefully as impactful as I was on the court. And with this winter storm, you know, it's probably crazier than Harvey in the sense of so many people were affected and still affected. And so I feel like me trying to provide as much food and water as I can and, you know, replumbing of these people's homes and so they can live and you know, in their homes and be safe and be happy is something that I felt like it was needed to do.
Listen, what he's done in Houston is unbelievable. What he did during Harvey, what he's doing now, phenomenal. That's separated from the basketball aspect. And I have one more thing that somebody just brought up on Twitter about, you know, the owners always have the upper hand. You don't think the Baltimore Orioles owners want to get rid of Chris Davis's contract? Chris Davis signed a 7-year deal where he's making, what, $25 million a year. And since the day he put his name on that contract, he has been the worst player in the game of baseball. The worst. He's not been a major league player. And you know what? They still got to pay him. Every year, they got to pay him. Every single year. And if they release him, they still got to pay him. So stop with the nonsense that the owners could do whatever they want. Because if they could do whatever they want, they would have sent Chris Davis packing and said, you're not getting paid. He has never been the player that they thought they were getting. Never. So stop. Stop. It's not always the owners of the bad guys here.
And you know what's interesting, too? There's that disconnect between the players and the fans. Like, you could hear it in Jay Will's voice. You hear it in Harden's voice. Like, they don't get what it is like the fans are rooting for. Because what do we compare the NBA to? Like a Broadway play. Like you go to a Knick game, like all the lights are shining down on the court, and it's like a play. And the players think, listen, you came to these games, you were entertained. We won a bunch of games. I won an MVP. How many times I scored 50? How many games in a row I scored 30? You were entertained. All right, we didn't win the Tony Award. But you still were entertained. And they don't realize that it's not like Broadway where the fan goes because they're hoping that that great play is going to win a Tony. They go because they want to see a team win the championship. Yeah, they want to be entertained, but what ultimately they're hoping for, because that's why they say we when they talk about the team that they root for, they're hoping they win a championship. So, yeah, for 8 years, Harden entertained them, and they loved him. But then he ditched them, and he ditched them without a championship. So, yeah, there's appreciation, but the ultimate appreciation is that you didn't win.
Also, I mean, if I was really to be nitpicky, and I'm not rooting for the guy to have – I don't care if he gets booed, cheered. To me, it's not a big deal either way. He's going to be fine no matter what. I mean, that whole conversation about why he donated, I mean, a bit of a layup there, kind of a setup to just be like – I mean, wasn't that sort of the appeal of please love me when I come back? Not the donations. I'm not saying he did the donations to be treated well when he got back, but I just hope that – you know, the things I did off the court meant as much. I mean, okay, just go play the game, bud. Listen, the people will love you. Whether they love you tonight, we don't know. But at some point, and a caller pointed this out earlier, even if they boo tonight, it's because ultimately he made a big impact on them. And at some point, they will cheer him again. Don't have the expectation they cheer tonight.
You know what, Peter, as disappointed as I would be, I would not be shocked if they cheer him. Listen to the callers today. But these are callers that are not Rocket fans, because either you or Don said earlier, if James Harden next year does it to the Nets, Net fans will go nuts. They won't say, well, he has every right. You know, he wants a chip. I want a chip, too.
I
want my chips with the dip, so bring them dips.
You know, and that's why maybe this is also speaks to the NBA, where I think there are a lot of people that just root for players in the NBA.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter. All right, so Harden's a Rocket. Oh, well, he's a Net now. All right, I'll root for the Nets. And if he leaves the Nets and goes back to, I'll root for Houston. We saw that with LeBron James, right? How many Heat jerseys, how many Cav jerseys, now how many Laker jerseys? I think a diehard fan of a team understands what Harden did to the Rockets. But if you're just a person, Peter, that's an NBA appreciator and just watches the players, then I could see you siding with Harden.
The NBA has revealed the all-star skills and three-point participants. And, guys, the three-point lineup is as fun a lineup as I can remember.
Well, let me hear. Let me decide.
Steph Curry.
All right.
Fun.
Devin Booker.
Fun.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Fun.
Okay.
Zach LaVine and Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, you're right. Well, very fun.
It's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah.
But you've got
it's not Larry Bird.
But you got a three-point competition with one of the best three-point shooters in the history of the game.
Why isn't Joe Harris not there?
He already won.
I know. So he shouldn't. He what?
What about my guy? Shoots from the logo.
Yeah.
We've got a little Damian Lillard in there.
Dame Dolla pulled out.
Is a former defending champ. Let him play. Let him be in a contest.
Well, maybe he didn't want to.
Well, maybe there's – are all those guys all-stars, Peter? Maybe they don't want extra players coming into Atlanta. I don't know. Although Obi Toppin is in the dunk contest, so I take that back.
But the dunk contest may be different. No,
the dunk
I don't
contest
think
is actually you throwing a ball and dunking somebody in the water.
Interesting.
By the way, Julius Randle's also going to be
skills
in the skills competition. The NBA All-Star events are set to benefit historically black colleges. The game, the dunk contest, the skills contest, three-point shootout will all help provide more than $3 million to support HBCUs.
You know, that's what they fall back on and why they're having an All-Star game and all the competition. $3 million. The owners have that in their ashtray. So do the players. Well, so
yeah, talk about eyewash.
They're doing this for TNT.
Thank you so much. When I heard $3 million, and again, that's nothing to sneeze at, but if you pass the hat
at
an NBA Players Association meeting, you'd have $300 million.
Yeah, that is – if I was a bad guy, I would say – the NBA is doing this entire thing for money, and because they're forcing their mostly black league and all-stars to participate, they're rubbing some eyewash on by giving money to HBCUs. So people have to go, huh? Isn't that nice? Giving it to black colleges.
But why do you have to come up with an event to come up with money like that Michael said these players have in their ashtray?
Why put it on the players, the owners?
Well, yeah.
So how many NBA teams are there? 30?
Pass the hat.
30
Listen,
NBA
if you want to help,
teams.
And those are two great causes, pass the hat around the owners. Pass the hat around the players. You'd have $350 million without anybody even sweating.
If every owner gave 100 grand, if I'm correct with my math, that's $3 million. 100 grand. They throw parties for more than that. So please don't tell me that's why you're having the All-Star Week. And you're doing this to fulfill your contractual obligation to TBS or TNT. That's it. It's a money thing.
We got to take a break. We got to take a break here. I have more stories to get to.
Why?
I'm sorry, because we have more. I got more good stuff and audio to play. I got to tell you, though, Michael K., your dear friend and supporter of the show, Mark Ballard, just chimed in.
Okay.
With what I think is a terrific idea.
Ballard!
He said for the three-point shootout, they should bring back one NBA legend each year to compete. Larry Bird, Steve Kerr. I got to tell you, it would be fun.
I don't think Larry can reach the basket anymore.
Really?
I don't think he can hit three-point shots anymore.
You don't think Larry could step up and knock down a three right now?
Maybe one. I don't think he could empty the racks.
He would. They would practice for a few weeks beforehand.
Have you seen Larry lately? I don't think he's emptying the racks.
What happened to him? Did something happen?
No, he's living large. I don't think Steve Kerr with a terrible back is going to be able to tell Ballard I love him. He's one of my favorite people.
He chose bad examples because he's not that bright, and Steve Kerr is physically broken. Larry's always had back problems. But there are plenty of players who look terrific and could come back and do it.
But, you know, time is Mike Tyson in his prime. Can't beat it. But it's and a time has really did a number on a lot of these guys, and I'm sure they don't want to go out there and get embarrassed.
Now, Rob, you've had on Twitter said Joe Harris was not in favor of going because of COVID.
Well, respect.
And Damian Lillard backed out to rest over the break.
That's right. I saw that yesterday. Thanks to our friend Kofi.
More ENN next right here on the Michael Kay Show on Yes 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Part two of ENN, right now.
Spent the entire break fighting with Andrew because he is also against Ballard's idea.
It's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. It's a great
removed
idea.
From, well, why don't we do it with the three-point contest, too? Let's get Clyde Drexler. Let's get 72-year-old
you mean the dunk
Julius
contest.
Irving. The dunk contest. Let's do that.
Well, the dunk is not realistic.
Well, neither is the three. It's hard to hit a three-point shot.
You're not having enough respect for the level that these guys get to.
But you're not having enough respect for how difficult that is to do. Well, people that are in shape are exhausted at the end of it.
No, it's not that serious.
So baseball is the easiest sport in the world to play then because they have an old-timers day.
Oh, wow.
No, that's ridiculous, Don.
Really? They're shooting from a rack. They don't have defense.
But it's still, you know how far that is?
Yeah, I've done it. I get it, and I stink. And I'm 37 years old. I stink, and I stepped into a game and hit a 20-footer with defenders there. But these are real basketball players. You don't think Steve Nash could hoist up 23s?
No, it's 25 shots. It's five in a rack. And no, I don't think he could do it.
Well, you don't think Reggie could?
Reggie Miller might.
There are a lot of people who could, and no. It would be fun.
I'm convinced. Michael always said the hardest thing to do is hit a baseball. No. If a 60-year-old guy can't hit a three, then that becomes the most difficult thing to do. I watched Old Timers Day. It's fun. Guys in their 70s hitting line drives into the outfield.
But they're not facing the three-point shot is a three-point shot, the same as it was when you were 25. When you're in an Old Timers Day, you're not facing Gerrit Cole or Jacob deGrom. You're facing Ron Guidry throwing 40 miles an hour. So you've slowed it down. Now, if you want to make a three-point contest a two-point shot, then they could do it. That would be the equivalent of playing in an old-timer's game.
I don't think they should trot out Bill Russell. I'm talking about guys who are in their 50s. What about if Del Curry was up against his son? That wouldn't be fun?
It'd be fun. It would be an embarrassment for Del Curry.
You guys, this is the one part where you can disagree on the idea. But where I fundamentally, truly disagree with you and Andrew is with your – and Don, tell me if you're with me. Your lack of respect for these guys, the idea that they lose it completely. To shoot at that elite a level, I've seen old guys like that go out there and shoot around. They're still lights out. They're not forgetting. Right. You think they're going to make a – they're going to be a – what, fall over, trip on the rack and die?
All right, ready? Because this is the kill shot, Peter. You ready?
Go ahead.
All right. Sometimes you don't see it coming. Mike, you see it coming. But the old-timer pitchers are still throwing from 60 feet, 6 inches.
Right.
And they get it there.
They get it there at 40 miles an hour.
So what? You don't have to drill a three.
That's not a kill shot. That's a ridiculous. That's not
no,
even
it's
parallel.
It's the kill shot.
You know what? Andrew, somehow, over the next couple of days, get a guy who was a good shooter, get John Starks, anything like that, and he would say, there's no way. And John
Starks
think they is probably
have to,
a guy that could do it.
I don't think
that's Starks
shoot 25 times.
Well, that's a three-point contest.
But no, but you can adjust it, but they can make – you could do it.
Hold on.
Have them compete against each other, and it's 10 shots instead of 25. They could do it.
By the way, if you pick guys that are in shape, they can shoot 25 jump shots, okay? If Don
do you
can handle,
see how exhausted the players are after they finish that?
You're the same man who thinks Don can't shovel his front lawn, okay?
I'm right.
Mark
he
Price
can
get up 25 shots.
Okay. This is mind-bendingly nuts.
You don't think Michael Jordan could hit a three?
Yes, he could hit 1-3.
And then he'd faint. He'd fall over. Let's hear from Tom Brady. He was on the Late Late Show. Whose show is that again?
James Corden.
With James Corden.
Or as I would say, Steven Seagal.
Oh, I love Seagal. Here's Brady being asked by Corden about the Lombardi Trophy toss.
First of all, I was not thinking at that moment. There was not a thought. It was, this seems like really fun to do. And not to mention, when you get your hands on one of those trophies, there are a lot of really sharp edges on the bottom, you know, where the stand is. Obviously, the ball is what it is. But and then I found out later that had that been an incomplete pass, that would have went down like 80 feet.
You're never seeing it again.
So,
What is this? Is this sea legs or dare I say it, a touch of tequila?
Oh, man. I think a little of both. It's it was definitely a moment of celebration. I'm happy I'm on land at that point. Absolutely. Happy I'm being surrounded by my fellow quarterback, Griff, in the right place at the right time.
Really,
you know.
Corden also asked if Brady could get drafted. Sorry. Corden asked if he believes he could get drafted. Well, I know the answer to this. Go ahead.
Being completely honest, you have zero chance. Zero.
But I think I've got the physique, no? I feel like with your guidance, you don't think you could even get me halfway there?
You know what? I think you're so talented. You can't be great at everything. Look at you.
Okay, I might not make Tampa, but I could play for the Jets.
You might be able to play for the Jets.
There you go. That's all I needed.
Wow.
As if Jet fans needed more reason to hate him.
I love it. I love it. I respect it. And if you're a Jets fan, you should respect it more than if he'd said something nice, because that shows the hate is still real. And to be honest, he shouldn't even think about you. He shouldn't even remember that he played against the Jets. But he does, and he cares, and he's angry. This isn't good. Kellen Winslow, whenever you hear that at this point, it's never good, but sentenced to 14 years in prison. Kellen Winslow Jr., of course, for multiple rapes and other sexual offenses against five different women in Southern California, including one who was homeless when he attacked her in 2018. He appeared via video conference for his hearing. He declined comment. But that's a story that's come up here on ENN over the last couple of years. 14 years in prison. Sheriffs are executing... executing a search
warrant.
No, you know what? Hold on. 20. Don, let's talk this over real quick. It's the word executes, but I just didn't read it right. What do you think I should do here?
But you also said, that's something that came over ENN the last few years instead of minutes.
No, I meant years.
No.
Well, no, that story.
It's been a yearly story.
Steven Seagal.
Because this goes back to 2018. You know what? Timeout's over, and you didn't help me at all. I'm going back out there.
Right, well, I sent you something on Twitter that's going to make you feel real good.
Okay, good. The sheriff in charge of the Tiger Woods case executed a search warrant for a black box from Tiger Woods' SUV. First of all, did you guys know there was a black box?
No. I didn't know that.
Well, it's not a black box like an airplane black box that has voice. It tells you, where the car went and how it steered and stuff like that.
This is important.
Is that an option?
Well, this is important for them to determine if what happened is in fact a misdemeanor. If it's a misdemeanor crime or a straight up just accident. But it could be, you could find out that when you look into it, there's probable cause for a crime.
Would be a crime if there's speeding.
In order to get the warrant for the black box, there had to be probable cause that there could be a crime. Even if it's just a misdemeanor. Sure. Is speeding at what level becomes a misdemeanor crime? Because a regular speeding ticket's not a misdemeanor crime. But at some point it becomes that.
So much time to break.
Last thing here, guys. Let me just say this. In a constant effort to embarrass the fan base as much as possible, the Washington football team has discontinued its cheerleader program, which makes sense because of the horrible history that we've now learned about of inappropriate behavior between ownership, friends, and the cheerleaders. But now they've discontinued the cheerleader program after 50 years and replaced it with a co-ed dance squad. No, this is not a wacky Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry film. This is the Washington Football Squad.
Wow, I saw that story. I don't get cheerleaders. I don't understand.
You never did.
No, I.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't understand it. I want to watch football.
And Don, thank you for the tweet you sent me. Daryl Green's best plays from 2000 to 2002
when he was
playing defensive back in his 40s.
Nice little highlight package. I thought you'd enjoy that.
Thank you very much. That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
Daryl Green was in the suite the night of the cookie incident as well.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he took a cookie. Corey Kluber making his first Yankee appearance. Yankees are playing right now. 1-2-3-9 pitch first inning. So thought people would want to know that. When we come back, we'll have the Friends quiz, and I think we'll also check in with Chris Carlin. It's Kay LeGreco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.